Good evening. Want to call the meeting to order tonight of the work session. We have some great fun in store, according to Karen and her staff. So we're just going to get ready with our general meeting information. We just have a couple things to go together. Are there any questions on the, we don't need to approve the agenda or anything. Okay, so we're just going to start with some updates. And I think Karen will take the first one, the state and federal updates. So,
thanks everyone for being here tonight. A couple of housekeeping things. If you have a per diem slip, if it's yellow or blue or a mileage slip, before you leave today, please fill it out and make sure Patty gets it so that you get paid. For attending the meeting, we appreciate everyone coming here and spending time thinking about the library. Because this is part of our normal work session schedule, we included some updates before we get into the strategic planning. So I'll try to keep it brief, but there's been a lot that's happened since the last board meeting at the state and federal level. I'm going to start with the less positive news and work into the more positive news, just because we want to be forward-thinking tonight, and I don't want to get too bogged down in what might happen, because some of this is outside of our control. The board met on the 18th. At that point, the IMLS funding executive order had been issued the previous Friday. 2 days later, the American Library Association did file some concerns about the executive order and asked that the director of IMLS submit a report to the director of Office of Management and Budget confirming full compliance with the order. And I'm sorry, that came from the... Yeah, the executive order directed the director of IMLS. This gets a little confusing. One of the concerns was some of the funding that was impacted was for fiscal year 24, which is already appropriated in addition to the continuing resolution for fiscal year 25 funds. 2 days later, no, I'm sorry, 9 days later, March 31st, I can't do math. American Library Association learned that staff from the IMLS had actually been laid off and locked out of their offices so they could no longer cut checks. And so that was concerning. Shortly after that, on April 4th, Keith Ellingson, our Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, joined 20 other states' attorneys general, in filing a suit demanding that the Trump administration stop the dismantling of the three federal agencies, which included the IMLS. Shortly after that, on April 7th, the American Library Association and AFSCME filed a joint lawsuit, and that was a motion for a preliminary injunction to stop the dismantling of the IMLS. So at that point, that's the latest news. There's lawsuits filed, there's questions about federal funding, and most of us in the room, not everybody, realize Great River doesn't receive a lot of federal funding. Most of it goes to state library services and then is in a grants to states program, and that gets subgranted to Minitex. Minitex is the agency that handles our interlibrary loan, the Elm databases, different services like that. I got an email this afternoon from Maggie Snow. Minitex is not just a Minnesota agency. It also handles North and South Dakota. Those state libraries are structured differently than the state of Minnesota's. They are more reliant on federal funds. So this afternoon, I was notified by Minitex that South Dakota will stop their courier service effective April 30th. So we will no longer be able to receive interlibrary loan materials from South Dakota as a result of the questions around federal funding. So while this doesn't directly impact our budget, it may impact our services or our partners' services, and it still remains to see what will happen. On the state front, there's better news. We have some active library association bills at the state level. Minitex operational funding was authored by Senator Eric Putnam from St. Cloud and Representative Dan Wolgamott. That is a $1.5 million per year increase for Minitech's operational funding. There's an additional bill at play for eLibrary Minnesota, and that was authored by Senator Kunesh and Representative Hill, and that's a $2 million increase for eLibrary Minnesota resources. So that would go to Minitech for their services. That was independent of the federal issue, but it becomes a little more important now that the federal funding is at question. Legacy funding has also been authored by one of our, co-signed by one of our local representatives. Representative Joe McDonald from the Delano area has been one of the authors to support an additional appropriation for legacy funding for 2 years. There's also been a House File 1090, which I helped testify for, to rename the Library Construction Grant Program for Representative Mary Murphy, who is the longest serving female representative in Minnesota legislative history. So while the funding has not been appropriated for the bill, it's hopeful that we are renaming a construction grant program that may have some funding someday. So those are good news. And then at the state level, the interesting news I found out last week is there is a Digital Equity Act through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act of November 2021. The state of Minnesota will be receiving $12 million. Sorry, my eyes are tiny, and my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. $12 million for digital equity capacity grants. Great River is eligible to receive a $50,000 grant appropriation. It is not a competitive grant. So digital equity is something we would potentially be receiving funding for in the next year through this grant program. So there's good news and bad news at the federal and state levels. We're continuing to keep an eye on it. But if anyone has any questions about that, I just went through it really fast. It might change by tomorrow. So just know it's kind of all up in the air. Oh, and I should point out the Minitech resolution that was passed by the Great River Board last month has been under consideration at four counties. It's passed a couple. We still need to visit Stearns and Todd, but I think everyone seems pretty open to supporting Minitech as a key partner to library services. Any questions about state or federal? It's a federal grant, but I've been told it's guaranteed. And that's where I'm like, really? But Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, administered by the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. It provides $2.75 billion total for a digital equity work in three funding categories. $60 million in planning grants, $1.4 billion in capacity grants to states, $1.25 billion in competitive grants. So the $50,000 for Great River comes out of the capacity grant chunk, and it's going to be issued in 60, 20, and 20% chunks. So the 60% chunk is the one that's being issued in the next 12 months. So it's an interesting development. Digital equity is important. It just seems like the timing of things are always interesting at the federal level. All right. Next, you want to go ahead? Jane, you're running the meeting.
Next, we have some special projects that have been done. Are there any questions on those? Do you want us to take those one by one or just as questions? Okay, so let's start with 3.1, exploring potential interests and career kits. Who's going to take that? Give us a little update.
Okay, so I'm Jamie Trenum, and I do collection development. So this project fell into my area. I guess I can stand up. It feels kind of weird sitting. So the Epic Kit partnership is with... Sorry, it's been a long day. United Way and Partner for Student Success and EPIC. So it was a big partnership between all of these organizations. And we came to the board several times with examples of the kits that we made and circulated. And so there's a big event in St. Cloud where students can come and learn about all kinds of different careers and get very hands-on with different types of equipment. And so the vision for this project was putting all of that stuff in a box. And so we have all of these really cool kits. They were developed by Epic. And it was a really good partnership, but I think that what we learned from it is a need to plan for replacements. Some of the kit materials were kind of things that you could only buy once. So the robot in one of the kits, for example, pieces went missing, and then we weren't able to use it, and we couldn't repurchase it. So in the future, I recommend having a work group that will kind of vet all of these types of kits to make sure that the pieces are going to be replaceable, making sure that the items are suitable for public use, because sometimes we have these really cool ideas, but they just don't play out in reality. The more pieces there are, the more things that go missing and can break. So just making sure that the program is sustainable. Any questions about Epic? Okay. I have the next two as well. So we'll just keep on going. The next project is Lucky Day Wi-Fi to Go. So essentially, this was developed as a response during COVID to allow our patrons to essentially check out the internet. The Lucky Day model is no waiting, and so patrons can just come to the library. It's first come, first serve. So if there's a hotspot, it's your lucky day. It has been a really good project. I think that we served the patron demographics that we intended to reach. However, a one-week checkout period is just not long enough. Patrons bring them back late. They go missing. And so it's really a more sustainable service if we're able to have that longer checkout period rather than just dealing with things in a one-week chunk. Yes, I think that's it. Any questions about Lucky Day Wi-Fi to Go?
It talked about resetting each of these. Just tell me a little bit more about that process and how come it takes so long to, or it takes so much staff time.
Well, there are two pieces. One was the implementation. And so when you get a Wi-Fi hotspot, it has factory defaults. And in order to create training that would be sustainable, we reprogrammed all of the individual Wi-Fi boxes, for lack of a better term, with a customized password. And that took a lot of time. The other thing that takes a lot of time is deactivating the hotspots when they don't come back. So turning off the service is the way that we get people to maybe bring them back. And there's a churn. So with that shorter checkout period, you have to deactivate them more frequently. And our carriers actually change their policy so that we can only request a suspension so many times before that line of service is canceled. And then the process kind of begins again. If it comes back, can we get that phone line? Because the service is actually powered through cell towers. So it, every one of those devices has a phone number attached. And if we can't get the same one, then the record has to be updated and adjusted. A lot. Like over a third. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, on the other hand, the regional Lucky Day, or not Lucky Day, excuse me, the regional Wi-Fi to Go, that allows us to check out the hotspots for 3 weeks. So it is that standard checkout period. Patrons can place requests. And the idea of the Lucky Day was sort of to tide people over until they could have that longer checkout period. So it's sort of like the Lucky Day model has run its course. The three-week hotspots are still very popular as well. I think that it's worthwhile to continue as long as the funding is sustainable. And right now, we fund our hotspots through RLTA, which is Regional Telecommunications Library Aid. And there's also other funding at play. Our internet here is powered through E-Rate. And right now, E-Rate is, there's a case at the Supreme Court about whether or not E-Rate is constitutional. So there's a lot of things in flux in terms of, is this funding going to remain? If E-Rate were to go away, we would need to use our RLTA dollars to fund our basic service for connectivity within the library. So it's worthwhile. We want to keep doing it, but we have to make sure that the funding is sustainable and all of the equipment needs to be refreshed because we've had it in service for going on 3 years. So I don't want to invest in new equipment and contracts until we know that the funding is there. Other questions?
It's not supposed to supplant. So that's where, yeah, the Digital Equity Act funding is specific to public access to broadband, but it's hard to say whether it would be considered supplanting if we're offering it right now. If the funding goes away, is it supplanting? Maybe not.
One thing leads to another. So I'll start. Community engagement platform was a idea CRC Dynex had probably around 2016 or so. We started engaging with them in 2018. The idea was they can use information in your borrower record to send you targeted emails. So you checked out a book in the last 30 days, or maybe you haven't checked out a book in 3 years, or you're a new borrower, or your card's about to expire. It would give us an opportunity to send you an email to try to engage with you, get you back to the library, get to use services, etc. There was another component where we'd have a place for library events to be on a website and to register, and then have a feedback loop. You registered for an event. All right, now we're going to send you another email to promote another event. Okay. So we started pursuing the idea, and as a result of a purchase we made of a number of CRC Dynex products, they threw community engagement platform in for free. And then it was a 3-year deal, so they gave it to us for 3 years. We found out it wasn't ready, and it wasn't ready, and it wasn't ready, and then we have it ready, and then now it's not ready. Ultimately, we got to this year, and our 3-year deal has finally ended this year when we started it back in 18 or 19. But the idea that we ultimately used it for was a welcome email series. We had been using the MailChimp email service for that. We didn't like the terms. We didn't think they gave enough library patron privacy. So we switched to this CEP service. We did a welcome email, so everybody who got a library card got a series of 4 emails telling them about library services so they could learn, like, I have a card, what do I do now? And that's been successful, and Brianne will tell you about that. But we did decide that based on the cost of what this was going to be to continue it, that we would not continue the CEP service, and we will find a different way to send welcome emails. Because we didn't do enough with it, and we didn't see enough to do with it to make the significant cost worthwhile. And maybe you'll have more questions after Brianne does her part, because she's going to tell you about the welcome email series.
Yes. So as we were evaluating the CEP platform, we realized, why haven't we questioned or looked back at how successful welcome emails are? And so we realized that it's more of the concept that we like to provide patrons information. Each of the emails is essentially the Find It brochure that you get when you get a new card at the library, but in email format. And so although we found that it was being opened, all of the emails, and that we were relaying the information, we realized that there's not really a way to track whether patrons like receiving that email or if it was of value to them. Part of the reason that we were doing the email series is hoping that it would sustain retention of our donors by keeping that communication. And so it has been successful, as we've seen through open rates and click rates. But as Jay had said, we just will not continue the CEP platform, and so we'll move it on to a different platform that we are already using. Any questions with welcome email?
I'm Jeanette Burkhart. I'm the Patron Services Supervisor for the southern portion of the region. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the senior library aid position that we have in the St. Michael Library. So back in the fall of 2023, we came to the board and said, St. Michael continues to grow. They're growing at a 3% rate every year. We anticipate that's going to be sustained going forward. We could use some additional allocation of staff at that particular branch, and ask the board to consider some extra support there. With that funding that we got from the board, we instituted the senior library assistant position at the St. Michael branch. The intent of this position was to help build capacity for the library services coordinator so that they could go out and facilitate greater outreach and community collaboration in the location. And it would also provide staff with the opportunity to develop supervisory skills and serve as a valuable pathway to advance to more senior positions within the organization. It kind of worked and kind of didn't. What happened was, yes, this person is getting supervisory skills. They're participating in the supervisory role for the library aides. The LSC is getting some more opportunities to be able to go out into the community and collaborate with other organizations and do some more outreach. Where it seems to be falling down is that we didn't really have the structure that we needed in order to provide training for this position from the get-go. So there's not an orientation program that's designed for this particular position, even though we have the position within our list of jobs. And we didn't have anything to help build that person capacity as well. So at the moment, we are pausing this position. We're not going to continue hiring this position for the moment until we can build those pieces that the position needs in order to be able to move forward successfully and build that person for the next role in the organization.
Thank you for those updates. Appreciate it. So next, we are going to get on to our main event today, the strategic plan. Should we go around the room and introduce everybody? Nope, we're not going to do that. That'd be quite
we've
a...
We've got a slide.
Okay, we're going to have Lisa. Oh, okay.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Lisa Phoebe, and some of you I know quite well in the room. For what it's just by some background, I'm a former board member of the Great River Regional Library, having served 8 years on the board. Just finished my term last December. So Karen, a bit ago, called me and said, hey, would you ever consider coming in and facilitating this piece of our strategic planning process? And I said, yes, so I'm here. So Lisa Phoebe, great to see you all. Great to see so many gathered here tonight. To support this process as you continue to try to look forward and see what the library needs to be. So I've been at many of these workshops over the years, sitting in these seats, and now I need to look at my notes. So it's great that we have board members here. Board members, as you know, you're the visionary people in the room. You're the ones that provide leadership for the overall Great River Regional Library staff. You are the boots on the ground. You're the ones that help us imagine the future, and you definitely know what's working and know, you know, what potential there could be. And it's so great to see so many of the youth council members here in the room. Youth definitely force us to be bold And having you in the room reminds us that you are what we're planning for the future. So thanks, everyone, for your part and for being here. And I challenge and ask you all to be bold as we consider to envision our bright future. And the slide that Karen sent me, the eyes didn't do that. So that's new. That's new. So welcome tonight. We're going to do introductions, but prior to doing that, should we?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Ideally, what we would like at each table is to have a little better mixture. So looking around the room, if your table has too many of either board members, staff, or students, I'm going to ask you to shuffle a little bit more before we get started. So in particular, this table seems heavy student. This table seems heavy board. For sure, I'd like two students at least at each table. But if there's more than two or four board members at a table, if someone can do a little shuffling. So if we could have a few students maybe move up here. And Karen, if you can help me out with this, because you know even better who goes where. Sorry, Greg. Thanks. Yeah, and maybe a couple board members if maybe moved back to that table. Greg's moving already, so that'd be great. Just one of you. We have. We need a student up here or two. You don't know if we do. Everyone's looking young to me these days. So you all look like students. Okay. You think we're pretty good now? Oh. Karen. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for doing. We want all three voices at each table. So thanks for doing that. Okay. Also, before we get started, I want to recognize there's a number of you that have been involved with this from the start. So board members that have been involved that are present here tonight are Jane Dietz, Tina Dietrich, Laura Kangas, Zuria Anjum also has been involved, not present here tonight. Staff and management have been Karen Punzak, I apologize if I butcher any of these names, Nicole Wojcik, Brianne Fruth, Jamie Trenum, Jeanette Burkhart, Jonathan Lair, Jessica Gomez, Katie Teasdale. And subcommittee members, do I need to go into that? Okay. Data analysis has been Amy Anderson, Jay Roos, Tier 1 and 2, Hillary Dawson, Kateri Gruber, and Youth Council Advisory Council, Ashley Johnson has been their staff, and it's been Charlotte, Zoe, Alessandra, Lexa, Aisha, Zoe, two Zoes, or maybe repeated, and Lydia. So, and most of you are in the room that I named up. So thank you for your participation so far. Okay, so here we are. Here's our timeline. And I'm going to say our and we because I've been so recently involved here and I love the library. So I'm going to include myself in on this. This all kicked off in January. The board probably remembers, or many of you remember, that was the kickoff. It was even determined last year that we were going to start again strategic planning process. Some of you in the room are thinking, it's like watching paint dry doing strategic planning. So we'll try to make this a little more fun tonight, and others just love this. So I recognize that. But started in January with committee assignments, the kickoff meeting. And then in February, stakeholder and subcommittee meetings happened. The board had a work session to review the past plan. And then in March, on the 12th and 26th, a couple more steering committee meetings. So a lot of work has gone into this up to this point. And if you haven't been part of all of that, this just helps you understand all the work that's going into it. Right now, here we are today, April 15th, tax day. Hope you've paid your taxes or you've gotten the great check back. But that's where we are today. So we're joining all three of these groups tonight to continue to move this process along of forward-looking and seeing what we want our library to be in the future. I haven't done a PowerPoint for a long time. So there the arrow comes down. That's where we are now. We'll talk about the rest a little later. Outcomes for today. And Karen really worked this up. So I'm going to say, Karen, interrupt me anytime if I say something wrong. She really has worked on putting this together for tonight, and we've gone over it a number of times. So we're going to reflect on what we've done. So kind of those months that we've already done, we're going to have different people share what has happened and what the progress of that has been so far. Our goal always is to stay focused on our patrons and our communities. Our commitment is a patron-centered strategic planning process. We're working on shaping the future. What we're looking at is the years of 26 to 30. So we're here to keep generating ideas, keep thinking out of the box, think boldly, think big, to look at that future. What do we want our libraries to be? We're reimagining our purpose. Brianne's table up here, they're working on the mission and vision. Again, some people are like, oh gosh, please keep me away from it. Others just love to dig in to what is that going to look like as we look at revitalizing our mission and vision. And we're here to unite for success. We're aligning our vision between stakeholders, patrons, and staff. We've worked hard to listen to all those groups, and we're kind of bringing that together tonight. So our agenda for tonight, and they already cut off like 10 minutes of the time. So if you feel rushed, you feel rushed. We're going to have introductions at our tables. We're going to review the process. We're going to have some reflection time at our tables. We're going to have some small group time. And we're going to report out to the large group. And then we're just going to talk briefly about our next steps. Okay, the steering committee has determined that these are the ground rules that they've used throughout their process when they've been meeting. And because at times to come up with ground rules as a group, that can itself take 15 minutes, and we have less than an hour now. So we decided to use those same kind of ground rules to create safe space for us to be together and share tonight. So those will be decisions will be made in the best interest of, as we said earlier, the patrons and the communities we serve based on current and future needs. Give people in the room the benefit of the doubt. If a discussion takes longer than time allowed, I'll check with you to see if we need extra time. But like I said earlier, our time's pretty short tonight, so we will be moving through things quickly. Take space and make space. The board members in here that worked with me know that I have the gift of gab, so I'm one that can take up too much space, but so I do make my opinion known, but I also recognize that I need to make space for those people that aren't as gregarious or don't jump in right away. So I try to sit back and allow space for other people. We're going to work on building and maintaining brave space so that we trust each other and are okay with what each other brings to the table. Offer what you can. Ask for what you need. One mic, one conversation. So even if it's at your small table, honor the person that's talking at the time and listen to them, and then it'll be your turn. And communicate with respect and expect and understand that we all come at this with a different angle, and a different perspective. So be respectful of that. So any questions so far or comments? Okay. So we're going to move right into just doing introductions. And I know Jane wanted us to go around the whole room. And because we have a little larger group and our time crunch, I'm going to ask that at your table, you're going to be working with this table group throughout the next 50 minutes. So at your table, if you can go around your group, share your name with each other, kind of maybe what your role is, if you're staff, board, or youth, and what library service do you use the most? So let's take about 5 minutes to do that. Okay, is there any table that needs a little more time with intros? Or were you able to get around? Okay, it looks like we're good. So good to get to know each other a little bit. You'll share a little more later. Now we're going to delve into some of the background of the steering committee progress at this point. So I am going to turn it over to Jeanette. Where's Jeanette? There's Jeanette. If she can come up, and she'll be working through the next slide.
Okay. I'll move. It's all good.
Yes. Okay. So.
One of the things that we have been doing, Karen and Library Services Coordinators and Patron Services Supervisors have been going to our partner cities and meeting with new mayors and new city administrators to see what the cities are envisioning for the next several years, what their goals are, and kind of how the library will be able to support some of those goals or even fit into those visions and those plans. Some of the core things that have come out of those meetings have been, especially even in some of our larger areas served, is that everybody wants that small town feel and the importance of being able to balance with the with the growth in the communities. They want libraries to be that hub of the community, so those welcoming spaces. Internet access and study rooms and meeting rooms are becoming a very, very hot topic in all locations. And then strong local partnerships to help with diverse community needs. Areas of growth that we've talked about are improving our spaces, so improving the accessibility to the library, the physical spaces and how we arrange our seating, having enough seating, both for individual and group sessions, increase access to the library, whether that's extending hours, figuring out how to use technology to create more hours or allow people to come into the library when there isn't staff there, more self-serve technology, strengthening partnerships, some that exist or creating more, increase community awareness, just awareness about the library, that there is a librarian in town. I think if you ask a lot of staff, you'll get the answer of, yeah, I always get the question, there's a library there? Really? And then meeting the needs of new residents and immigrants.
Okay, thanks, Jeanette. And any questions for Jeanette or any clarifying, anything you want clarified? Which cities did you meet with?
Little Falls, St. Michael, Long Prairie, Becker, and St. Michael was Albertville and Hanover as well.
Yeah, so some really smaller communities and also some of our largest ones, but that small town identity, even in our larger communities, growing cities, they want that small town identity. And I know I reside in Sherburne County, and our Elk River side, that whole area is really growing. Well, all of the county is growing, but that's one thing people say a lot. That's important to them. So no matter whether it was big cities or small, they want that small town identity. So, okay, we're going to move on now to our steering committee vision. And Katie's going to report on that.
So I originally was going to have a buddy for the Tier 1 and 2, and I'm from the Tier 3 and 4 subcommittee as well. And so we had kind of talked a lot. I feel like some of the stuff interplays and kind of swings back around to being a similar but like slightly different topic. But one of the things that came up for Tier 1 and 2 was this idea of convenience, that it needs to be, like, easy to access what people are trying to get and also, like, quick and not, like, a thing where people have to come back later to access it, that we want to see that exceptional service and have library awareness so that, like, we're free, we're here, this is where your library is located, kind of thing. This is in a different order than...
You can do it in whatever order you'd like. It might be better.
Yeah. And then we also talked about for the Tier 3 and 4 group, and we had talked about some of those Tier 1 and 2 topics as well, but we talked a lot about in Tier 3 and 4 staff knowledge, making sure that staff are empowered and know what they need to know about Great River services, as well as kind of those like in-depth things that we need to know about our local communities. And if they don't know them, at least knowing a way to find that information. And including that, like, welcoming space and feel, like, to feel belonging. So, like, is there a nice spot for you to go sit, or is it going to be, like, a ginormous couch that you have to share with somebody else? Or is there, like, a private study space that things are easy to find, that the wayfinding signage makes sense? And with that community piece, we had talked a lot about having partnerships where the collaborations are really effective and we're using, not using, but like working with other organizations so that we're not duplicating effort and recreating the wheel, but instead having kind of this, like, we both raise each other up support. And I'm also in PST. Am I the PST person here tonight, too? Am I supposed to talk about that part? So PST, we've been really focused on how to help people with access barriers, whether that's like they don't have a photo ID for various reasons, whether they can't have a photo for religious purposes, or they just moved, or there's all sorts of reasons, but also helping people with different access barriers in terms of like interacting with our website, or how do you use the library, kind of access barriers as well. I think overall, like on the right side, that was some of the things that we kept coming to in the steering committee overall. And so we had a lot of conversation about like how do we address like translation services, and is there like a device that we can use, as well as like marketing the collection in a way to make those that information easy to find, using those effective school partnerships and collaborations to try to like not recreate the wheel in terms of like things that other people might be doing better, but encourage them to come into the library, and vice versa. That library 101 basics we've been talking about, like we have more and more people that don't know how to use Dewey, don't know how the library necessarily works. And then the parents part, we were talking about how parents are the ones that drive the cars. So they maybe need to be the ones that we hit with outreach more. At first interaction was part of our, like, it needs to be that exceptional service with welcoming space. Same with comfortable spaces. Fighting illiteracy is such a huge part of library services as well. That fundraising piece, especially in kind of like the unusual time period we've lived in, I think, or we're living in right now, maybe it needs to be something we're thinking about more and more. And then also that AI piece, like, how does it work with the library? How do we protect people's data? Can we use it in a way as a tool, while still kind of supporting the things that we need to protect as well? I'm sure that I've missed things. Oh, one of the other things I think that came up a lot was this effective outreach, and like how do we go out and meet people and do like those outreach events for the library, but in a more like effective and powerful way. Yeah.
Thanks, Katie. Anything else that other steering committee members want to add that, you know, Katie was a little concerned she forgot something. So anything anyone can think of that wasn't on there. You've spent a lot of hours together. So getting a thumbs up. So thank you, Katie. Next, we're going to turn over to Brianne, who's going to walk us through this slide of backcasting steps we need to take.
Yes. So based on the visions that we saw, we then took the time to backcast. So essentially, we determined what is in the middle that would get us to that vision. And as Katie had mentioned, part of it is library awareness, both in how we operate, services, collections we offer. The staff training piece was mentioned as well, that it is consistent within all 32 branches that we are staying up to date, and also the clean and easy to navigate staff page, is that is also like a library branch, and a lot of people are going to it. Also, our books, since that is our bread and butter, how can we make sure that we are doing that the best we can as well, which includes the reader advisories and things like read-alikes for high requested items. And also the technology, which was also mentioned as well, and ways that we can close or reduce that gap. Things that were mentioned as well were the different languages, free printing that's done in other library systems. How can we do more self-service? and also digital literacy for staff and patrons.
Any questions about this slide? I know the library awareness piece, the whole free part, you know, obviously it's tax supported. So we know that. The board definitely knows that. The fines free, I was on the board when we went fines free, and that was pretty controversial. A few other systems had done it in the state, and now it's almost everyone, I think, in the state. I have my library card reciprocal borrowing in three different counties because I live kind of on the border of Mille Lacs and Sherburn, and then my grandkids are in Ramsey. So I often check out Ramsey County books, and they are often late, my grandkids. We're going to blame it on the grandkids. But so the fines free has been helpful for me, Grandma. But we have found that it's been really taken away some barriers for people to access to the library. So any questions or comments on this slide or for Brianne? And Brianne, you have the next one.
Yes. So as we continue to talk with our strategic plan, we want to make sure that we are reflecting back on our core values and also the logic model that we implemented only a couple years ago. And Great River is patron-centered. So again, we, in everything we do, want to reflect our community and that we are providing exceptional service, forward-thinking, and have a community focus. Within the steering committee, we evaluated our logic model and pulled out outcomes that were long-term. And the ones that we selected or narrowed in on were the empowerment of library users to use their library resources on their own, improved culture of literacy among community members, an engaged community, and increased digital equity and inclusion. And if you might notice, those might sound familiar.
Yes, and each of you are at a table that has one of those logic model outcomes on your big notepad. So we'll be doing some activities with that in a little bit here. So any questions or comments for Brianne? Then we'll move it along to Karen to wrap this part up.
All right, this is the last part of the talking. So now you know how we got to the words on your notepads. But the thing we also talked about as a steering committee is what are the things that Great River does best based on everything we've heard to this point. And that included the Youth Advisory Council survey of youth last summer who said, what do kids want in the library? What do our young people want when they come to the library? Books and a nice place to sit. And those books better look nice. Like, they want good books, they don't want the old books, they don't want sticky books, they want good books. So the number one thing we do is patron service, and that is our staff. Our staff are exceptional, and they are very committed to our patrons. Today we were at Wright County, and the county attorney asked a question I'd never gotten before. How do you answer so many questions based on the number that was in our annual report? He estimated we were answering about 400 questions a day. And I said, well, we have 200 exceptional staff. That's how we're doing it. And he asked whether we'd ever do that with AI. And I said, probably not. But we do want to offer that one-on-one service to our patrons. And that's where we excel at. And the other thing we do best is have the things that people want when they come to the library. Our youth have told us that. Patrons told us that in the user survey, and so those are the top two things that Great River does. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen. Any questions or comments for Karen? And after 8 years on the board, I can attest to that, that the passion in whether it's our board, our staff, our youth council, it's clear that they want to serve our communities the best they can and provide the goods. So now we're going to get you involved a little bit for our last half an hour here. So at your tables, If you don't have a piece of paper, there's some paper on your tables, and there are some writing utensils, I think, also pencils and pens if you need them. If they're not, raise your hand. Grab a piece of paper if you have your own. Great. Otherwise, just grab a piece of paper. And just on your own, we're going to ask that you write down 3 points from the presentation that made an impression on you. Number one, a positive or a negative. The second one, what surprised you. And the third one, what reinforced what you already knew. And we'll just spend a few minutes quietly reflecting on that on your own. Okay, so like you can see on the slide, now I want you to pair off with one person at your table and mix it up if you can, or if you're comfortable doing that, with, you know, youth and a board member or staff and a board member or whatever. And if you have an odd number, of course, a group of three could meet. So pair off with in little groups now at your table and share the 3 points that you wrote down on your sheets with each other. And I'll trust that you can split yourselves up. And you can move around, use the whole room, move around a bit. Okay, we're going to wrap that up. Thanks for sharing with each other with that. I'm going to ask if anyone is willing to report out to the large group now. Something that you heard, maybe something you didn't think of, something that surprised you, positive or a negative, something from your small group. If you're willing to report out to the large group, just kind of raise your hand. We've got hot mics.
My name's Alessandra, and kind of one thing I heard a lot was that I really liked, I kind of put it down, but it was nice to see that a lot of people in my group were thinking the same thing. Was one thing that was kind of reinforced was how the community between a library and a patron can be something that's really valuable to a library. I'm from St. Michael, which is kind of a big and a small town, depending on where you live in that area. But the nice thing about the library is when you go there, especially when I was younger, like we had, I remember, sorry, what is your name? Melissa, you do the therapy dog once a month. We also do that a couple times a year in there. And I remember as a kid walking in there, I was really excited to read the dog. But like, you walk in, the librarians, while they don't know your name, they act like they do, and they'll like try their best to help you with what you need to find and help you with the things that you need to do. And just having that kind of community between the patrons of the library and the librarians and the people who work the library itself just really helps the library grow and also helps make it so it's like a safer space within your community.
Thanks, Alessandra. Let's give her a hand. A student popped up first. I love it. Someone else want to share something they heard at their table or something they want to share. Thanks, yeah. Greg.
All right. So in somewhat building on what you said, a library can very much be a safe space. That's something Lydia mentioned. Lydia, right? Yeah, mentioned. It can be a safe space, a welcoming space, and a retreat from the outside world. I know that particularly when I was a kid and used libraries a lot more than I use now, that was a lot of it. It was a place you could go, you could get a book, and you could escape for that, or just, you know, that nice little respite from the actual day-to-day life that you had. And libraries need to be that. That's one thing that library has to be, is a very welcoming, warm space for people to escape into.
Thanks, Greg. Give him a hand. Others? Couple more. Oh, here we go.
All right, I just have to mention that a free printing service, especially in my area, I think would impact us so much. As a student, like, we've got 3 printers in our house, but they don't ever work, okay? Like, and my dad, he's great at technology, but he hates fixing printers. So to have a free printing service, like, that's open during weekdays in our town would be such a big thing for us. We don't have like a Walgreens you can just walk into for even things like pictures for a presentation. I was making a presentation the other day, and I'm like, man, I don't have time to go to Walgreens Monticello. So I think that would be such a great thing for our community to be able to do free printing for the students. It's right, our community center with our library is right next to the high school, so it would be a big thing for students to be able to come here and do their homework and then be able to print stuff off. And, you know, even if we have some lower income areas. And so to be able to free print those things, I think would be such a big impactful thing for the community. So.
And your name is?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. Thanks, Charlotte. Give her a hand. I could have used free printing today.
I'm Holly Lammers. I'm one of the board members. And Aisha and I were talking about, because I'm obviously much older than her, and I've been using the library way differently than she has. But she's been on the Youth Advisory Council for the last 2 years. She's going to time out because she's old enough, and this girl needs a job here. I'm advocating for her. But so we were just saying, she's like, this is her safe space. This is where she goes after, well, now she's pretty much done with school, but she brings kids here and all of it. And so, like, I love that. Yeah, and I have a grandbaby now, so, and I was saying how I'm going to utilize the library differently than hers, but, thank you.
Give Holly a hand. Anyone else? Well, great. I know, it just, when I hear people, it brings me back. It was about a mile walk to the library when I was growing up, and I would walk to the library and back, and it was that safe space. I got to get away from my three siblings that, after, you know, too much time together, you want to be away. The youth are nodding their heads. And I remember going to the junior, I don't know what the section was called back then, but my goal was to read every single book. And I just started on one end and started reading every book on these shelves. So great memories. So great spaces for all different types of people. And now I'm a grandma too, many times over. So it's a great place to take the grandbabies. So thanks for sharing and doing that little individual reflection. Now we're going to work, move on to a little more work. So as we said earlier, each of you, these poster boards, have a topic on it that the steering committee has decided to elevate a bit as priority. So Brianne's group over in the corner, they're working, they're the mission vision group. But each of you, there, one of you is the empowerment of library users to use library resources on their own. One of you is improved culture of literacy among community members. One is an engaged community engaged in lifelong learning. And one is increased digital equity and technology. So what I'm going to ask you to do now, at your table, you have... we're going to think about, this is where we're really going to challenge you to think bold, like I said earlier, think out of the box, sky's the limit. All of this is going to go on to the next stage, back to the steering committee, or something called like that. But this is where we want your input, and it's going to be really valuable. So what we're going to do now, at your table you have Post-it pads. I want each of you to take 5 Post-its. So each of you needs 5 Post-its, and on each Post-it, one per post, according to the outcome that's on your big notepad, so look at that notepad and we can help you out if you need it, write down one per Post-it, 5 things the library could do to achieve your group's assigned outcome. So I have a few examples just to get you thinking. I wrote these down if I can read them. For example, empower, Karen is interrupting me. for example, an engaged community engaged in lifelong learning, programming, just considering programming of all kinds for our littles to our elderly might be an idea. Digital literacy equity, you know, technology support. I swear every time I go to the library, I need some kind of technology support. Improved culture of literacy among community members. All the various ways that we can encourage reading. Just encourage reading in our communities. And empowered our library users to use the library. Perhaps extended access hours that don't possibly require staff. So creative ways to do that. So those are just one of the thoughts for each of them. But write down 5 different things, one on each Post-it, on what the library could do to achieve your group's assigned outcome. Give you a few minutes to do that on your own. So once you're done with your 5 things, or 3 things, or 4 things, or how many you can think up, 5 is the goal, then, like it says on the slide, talk about this with your group and cluster them on your page in similar activities, or give them kind of a category if you're able to. So talk as a group and put them into groups on your page, and then we'll circle back in a bit. Yes, these can go right on the board. Use the board. Lay it down on your table if you'd like, whatever you want. You can lay it down. You can, and then also kind of be thinking about who is going to be reporting out to the full group from your table. Why don't you wrap it up in about one more minute, and then we'll ask each table to report out to the large group. Okay, we're going to wrap it up at the tables. And we're getting to the bewitching hour, the end of our evening. So I love, Karen and I are just saying how the conversation seems so great. Okay, so I'm going to ask each table just to report out to the large group. Just highlight a couple things that you thought that came up, that ended up on your poster.
So our group had the improved culture of literacy among community members, and we had a lot of great ideas on here, collaborating with outside organizations, having informational sessions from experts about certain subjects, having language classes in the library, so a lot of good things. And what I also recognized is that some of this stuff kind of fit back into some of the slides that we had earlier. So we had one that was that mirrored reader's advisory and finding read-alikes and author-like items. I had another one that was, again, those partnerships and collaborations from the PST team. What else? I also told this group that we often think of literacy as being reading, but there are other types of literacy, too. There's digital literacy. There's physical literacy. So to think about those topics as well when you're thinking about literacy and when we're kind of going through this process.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jeanette. And also share your name if you're standing up to share. Jay.
Oh, I have to stand up, huh? All right. I am Jay. And I'll share a couple things where people had similar ideas. Training on basic computer skills to small groups, training for senior citizens, classes or groups. There was the idea of holding events to introduce people to opportunities for technology, improve visibility of technology and support that we do have, awareness in each category of the community, outreach to new members in the community, affordability for all technologies. Mine is complete wireless coverage of all library parking lots. We started that. Yeah. Was there anything anybody really wanted called out? Okay.
Okay, thanks. How about this group up here? Who's going to speak?
I'm going to call. So some of the things that we had were promoting the library, like especially doing like kind of cute, fun things, making sure people know and understand that the library is free, encouraging kids to read, having knowledgeable staff to help promote the things in the library, partnerships with different community groups to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the community and we're not duplicating efforts. So, Library Joy, having joy in the library, making people want to come to the library because it's a fun place. Having things be accessible. More community partnerships, a lot of just working with the community and some more outreach.
Okay, thanks, Nicole. How about this group? You already went.
I'm Alessandra, and for our group,
We don't have post-its. We have a lot of words, which is good because this is a library. We are focusing on finding kind of like a mission statement for the library because what we originally had was Explore, Learn, and Connect, which you can apply to anything from a college to a educational video game. And we wanted to kind of find something that overarched all the stuff that we had in the library from like digital learning to services and all the things in between. And what we kind of came up with was to serve six counties in central Minnesota with library services and either materials or multimedia materials. And we're just trying to figure out different ways to like include from the books that we have, but we also kind of support the community, and that would also fall under the whom, which I was going to go over earlier. But just kind of figuring out a way to tell the community that comes into our library, hey, this is kind of the stuff that we do, the kind of thing that we can see when we first walk in. It's kind of like how the Nike has their logo, just do it. And so just kind of finding our own way to brand the library from the towns all closest to North Dakota, from right here to St. Michael or Moorhead, just finding different ways to kind of connect all the libraries together.
Great. Thanks, Alessandra. Okay, and this table, our last.
All right. We had lots of ideas, and it was kind of challenging to categorize them, but we have lots of educational pieces. So education outside the library, like things that we can print off and give out, like quick printed guides, how do I do this? Short instructional videos that could be posted on our website, on social media, like quick bite-sized things, clear instructions. In the library, Library 101 classes, teach the Dewey Decimal System, review all the resources with new users, tours of the library, having staffing levels at a point where we can take that teachable moment. So instead of giving somebody the answer or giving them the resource, walking them through the steps. Yes, this book is shelved by the author's last name. It's in the L's. Let's take you there and go get it together. Simplifying. So that would be less library lingo. Charlotte had a great one, a website that is friendly for people from 9 to 99. And access, home delivery or mail a book, library card not needed, extended access outside of library hours. If we had free printing, then people would be forced to learn how to use that on their own. And then other services like making the library cool on social media, expanding the Libby collection, and teen book and movie club.
Okay, thanks, all Jamie. Kinds of things. Okay, thanks everyone for all the input on these. I'm going to circle back now as we close tonight to where we are here in April. So where is all of this going to go? These posters are going to go with staff, with Karen, and then it will be given over to the steering committee. And that's where they're going to be working on organizing this and working more on sifting through all of this and determining, putting them more into goals and things like that coming forward. So I just want to, and as you can see, so that'll happen in our next month. There'll be a final draft in September, so probably a few things will happen over the summer, and then the board will meet again, or there will be a work session of sorts in October, with the goal of November 18th being a final plan to go to the board for approval. So a year-long process, and I just want to say thank you to everyone that participated tonight, to our staff members that are here. It's a long day for many of you. It's a long day for all of us, to our board that are here, but sorry, I'm a little partial for the youth that made it here tonight. They add so much energy and inspiration in the room. So I want to really thank the youth for being here tonight. And with that, that concludes our workshop. And I'm going to turn it over to Jane.
Again, thank you everyone for your input and for coming. And with that, I'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.